I got a message for you this morning. It's out of Philippians. That was the brief, so I ignored it and just did what came into my heart. Just jokes, kind of. but I love it when God puts something on my heart, and I always see God as hard as I can before I come and share something with you. And I was reading Philippians 3, 13 to 14. This message is about one thing, because Paul here is talking about one thing I do. He says, this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on. Oh, I love that. I press on towards a goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And this gets used a lot, this chunk of scripture. You know, you press on towards what God has got for you. You know, forgetting what is behind, press on towards what God has got for me. And then it sounds really, really good here. But there's one part he's got at the start. He says, forgetting what is behind, I press on. So forgetting what is behind, I press on to what's ahead. It's almost like we forget about this when we read this scripture. We talk about pressing on and going ahead, but we forget about the forgetting what is behind, I press on. And it's almost that Paul has constructed it in such a way that the secret to pressing on is the thing that prefaces it, which is the forgetting what's behind. So he says, forgetting what's behind, I press on. It's almost like the forgetting part is the main part, and the pressing on part just adds on after you forget what's behind. Does that kind of make sense to you? Forgetting what is behind, I press on to what God's got for me in the future. And it makes a lot of sense. We read it, and I've read it before, and I've heard people preach it, and they're saying, you know, forgetting what's behind, forgetting all the stuff that you messed up on, forgetting sin, and forget, you know, crazy decisions you've made and bad relationships you've had and yada, 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 yada. And I thought, yeah, that's really good. But then when I read all this, that's not what Paul was talking about forgetting at all. So what was Paul trying to forget? What was the thing that he found in his life? You got to remember, when he wrote this, I've studied all the timelines, he's around 65 years old, and he's still saying, forgetting what is behind, I press on. So what is it that Paul found in his incredible walk with God that would hold him back and stop him from pressing on? What was it that Paul the Apostle, writer of two-thirds of the New Testament, found that he had to forget out of his life because it would stop him from moving forwards? Let's find out. Now, what was Paul trying to forget? It says here in Philippians 3 to 6. Sometimes whenever you see therefores and all that, you got to back up and find out what it's there for. And he says this. He says, we rely on Christ, on what Christ Jesus has done for us. This is a letter to the Philippian church. He said, we put no confidence in human effort. He says, though, this is funny. It's almost like he's pontificating here. Though, I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. He's talking himself up. I could. You know, we don't put any confidence in the flesh, but I could. If anyone could, I could. He says, indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, you know, that you're a good person. He said, I have even more. Really talking himself up. Even more. You know, you think you're good. Check out my life. He says, and then he goes, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. Not something you normally share in a letter, is it? Or having a beer with your mate. I remember when I was 8. I was, anyway. So, I was circumcised when I was eight days old. So keeping to structure, Jewish law. He said, I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel. Pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, I'm a real Hebrew if there ever was one. Oh my gosh. He's like, he's really on himself here. He said, okay. You got to understand that Paul devoted around about 30 to 35 years of his life, and when he was 5 years old, started studying in the synagogues. And then up until about 30, 35 years old, he gave his whole life to this. You know, he's like, man, my life is disciplined, so strict. Carries on, he says this, I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, so given to what I believed was right. And he said, and as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I mean, this guy's on himself He's like, man, I'm perfect. Amazing. He said, I gave myself to this from day one, 5 years old, showing up in the synagogue every day. I gave myself to being a Pharisee, to being the best of the best Pharisee that had ever existed, to get the honor, to get the wealth that would come with it and the respect from people. I gave my whole life to it. But something happened and something changed. And he said, but one thing I do now, I'm going to leave that middle, but he said, one thing I do now, he said, forgetting all this. And he must dream about it sometimes and think about it and go, wow, man, that was amazing. I was, you know, so strict and giving myself to the law and I knew everything and building my whole life. I was going for it. I was going somewhere with that. And I reckon he would have almost had flashbacks now and again of, I could have been the guy with the robes walking down the street and everyone would have gone, oh, here comes the Pharisee Paul. Oh my gosh, Pharisee Paul. This guy's unbelievable. Doesn't miss a thing. You know, his hands are perfectly clean. His feet are perfectly clean. His robes are clean. He's just the cleanest of clean. He's amazing. All this sort of stuff. And he said, but one thing I do, I forget what is behind and I press on towards what is ahead. So Paul, what is he trying to forget? He's not trying to forget something bad. He's actually trying to forget something good. This is the crazy thing. Paul is not trying to forget something that he did wrong. Paul is trying to forget something that could have been. Something amazing that could have been in his life. He looks back, I'll put it in more modern circumstances if that's going to help you. He looks back at the relationship that could have been amazing. He looks back at the house that he could have had, at the debt that he could have paid off, if he had done things differently. Because he's saying here, the things that hold you back, the things that you need to forget, not so much the bad things, but the way that your life could have been if you'd have played it a different way. And you keep thinking, it would have been so much better. My life would have been so much better if I'd have just done this and just done that. My life would be flipping amazing. And he said, that's the stuff that I have to forget. I have to forget what could have been so I can press on to what could be. It's crazy, right? And you say that, you say, it's okay, it's easy for Paul. He wrote this when he's like 30 years old, building churches in Philippi. Now, that's when he started the church. He wrote it when he was 65 years old, rotting in a prison, forgetting what's behind of what my life could have been. I think about what my life can still be. 65 years old, rotting in a prison. If you're here today and you're going, well, it's too late, forget it. I don't know what happens in our life, and I don't know whether it's because we get to a certain age or we go through some bumps in the road or whatever, but what could be gets taken over with what could have been. And our mind begins to become swamped with rather thoughts of faith and what God could do, and instead gets filled with what God could have done and what we could have done and what could have been in our life. And Paul said, that flipping thing, what could have been, you've got to forget that. You've got to forget what could have been in your life. If I'd have met that guy, if he'd have asked me out, then my life could have been different. I could have been married and happy. He said, you've got to forget that stuff because it's going to stop you pushing on and pressing on to what could be. Oh my gosh, let's move on. I read this the other day and I thought it was such an interesting quote. I don't even know who wrote it. It said, the reason people find it so hard to be happy is because they always see yesterday better than it was, today worse than it is, and tomorrow less resolved than it will be. I thought that's so true. We think about yesterday, oh, it was so good. Oh, it could have been. Oh, bull. Rubbish! You know what I mean? It didn't exist. It's a fantasy world we live in. When things get down, we pull out this ball of what could have been, red ball, and we ping pong it around in our head. Oh, it could have been this, could have been this. Just to cheer ourselves up, you know, so we have a better day. Blimmin' rubbish. Take the ball and flick it. It didn't happen. It wasn't going to happen. Proverbs says, he who chases fantasies is unwise. It's a flippin' fantasy. It didn't happen. It was never going to happen. It didn't happen. I remember I made this crazy decision once in my life. I still think of it as an odd decision. And for 2 years after I made this decision, and it's sent our lives in a bit of a funny angle, the whole family. And for 2 years afterwards, I used to sit at least once a day and go, if I had my time again, I'd do that. If I had my time again, I would have done that. If I had my time again, I would have done that over and over and over. And God eventually spoke to me. 2 years he didn't speak to me about it because I never asked him, I guess. You didn't ask. And God eventually said to me, if you had your time again, Jamie, you'd do exactly the same thing. Move on. And I was like, hurts to hear that. But I would have, because I have done it again. You get in the same situation, and I do the same thing. Oh, you're right. How does he know this stuff? God's amazing. Life used to be what could have been. Yesterday was so good. That's true when you show your kids a movie you used to love when you were young. I sat Mav down the other day, mate, Rocky 3, mate. It's full on. We've got to forget 1 and 2, they're too slow. Let's go straight to 3, Mr. T, Clover Lang. I don't hate Balboa, pity the fool. And I said, you got to watch this, it's the best movie ever. It's so slow, isn't it? Mav's watching it and he's like, ah, nodding off. And I wait for the fight. And then the fight's like 3 minutes. It's all over. I said, what'd you think? And he goes, yeah. Yesterday wasn't that good. Let's move on. Crazy. Okay. I had this situation. I'm just going to share this with you, how good things could be. It is a funny thing, and I had to preach a few weeks ago at a women's conference, and I'm mad, and at a ladies' conference, and it was in Perth, and it's the first time I've done a couple of ladies' lunches, but I've never done a women's conference, and I had to preach like 3 messages, and I'm like, oh my gosh, and God put this message on my heart, and it actually came from Hebrews 12, and I touched on it last time I was here, but it works in so perfectly with this scripture of forgetting what could have been and pressing on to what still could be. And it's a scripture in Hebrews 12. And Paul says the same thing basically here, but to the Hebrews, and he says, casting aside every weight, I press on. Casting aside every weight, I run. And I mentioned it last time you were here. I don't know if you remember, but I was saying, for reason of the fact that Paul didn't write down a formula or a structure on how to run, he just said, cast aside weight and run. It's almost as if you were born to run, but the only thing that's stopping you is carrying the weight. So it's the same thing with forgetting what's gone to move on to what's ahead. And they said, can you do a message and a ministry time? And I thought, yeah, I'm going to do this. I really feel my heart. God wants me to do this. You know, cast aside every weight and run. And I was sitting on DY Headland in my car. This is where I normally get messages together. And I was sitting there and I was going through this message, you know, casting aside every weight and run. Yeah, it's good, God. And a story that would work there. But it's got to be from you, God. And you know, I started to think about a situation that we had. It was a real estate decision in our life. And I started to think about it. And I made the wrong decision with this thing. It's only about 10 years ago. Shivers. And I was going through the scripture and I was praying about it. And this anger sort of just spilled my life. But, you know, God said to me once, you know, I said, you know, God, I get tired of just spilling my guts in front of people. And he said to me, you unpack your life, I'll unpack theirs. So let me just, and this anger came out of flipping nowhere. And it was like a knot. And I was like, and I'd never said it to God like this about this bad decision, this real estate decision. And I said it out loud for the first time ever. I said, where were you on that one, big fella? It was just, where were you on that? It's like, I know you know everything. And this is, I know a fair bit of the Bible. I'm like, and then all of a sudden I'm like, you know everything and you can do everything. How about a little tap-a-rooney on the shoulder? Don't do that. You could have just done that. Where were you on that, dude? It wasn't as if I wasn't praying or reading the Bible. I'm like, ears open, hello, and nothing. So where were you on that one, big fella? And I started to bawl on this thing. I'm like, oh, God. Like it was raining outside. Raining outside, raining inside. And I was like, oh, God, really? This stuff. And I'm going, what the heck? I didn't even know I was angry. Isn't it funny we can live angry and not even know? It just lives down there. And I was crying about it. And I felt God speak to me. And I wanted answers, you know? I wanted answers. I wanted an answer to this thing. And I felt God give me a scripture. And he spoke this to me. And he said, I'll give you beauty for ashes. And I was like, that's a lady's scripture. It's funny what you think, isn't it? It's like, yeah, it's kind of beauty for ashes, you know. That's what ladies' books are, you know, beauty for ashes. Oh, it's lovely. It's Selena's book. I wouldn't read it. It's beauty for, I don't need beauty. I've got ashes. And I was like, God, that's a lady's scripture. beautiful ashes. So, and I started to just meditate on it for a while. And God just started opening it up. Ashes. Ashes. You get ashes when something goes through the fire and it doesn't make it. And it doesn't make it. And we try to think it does. And sometimes we can pick up the ashes and look at it and we go, it's still all right. It's still pretty good. And people go, how are things? It's good. It's still fine. I don't even know why people are asking me. I'm really good. I'm going great. Look. You know, and everyone else is going, they're ashes, mate. Ashes are a funny thing. I've seen a lot of ashes. People and you know, we used to have an open fire when I was a kid growing up. And you can't tell what was there because of the ashes. They're just what's left. And you have some days that you pick up the ashes and you say it's okay, and other days you pick up the ashes and you go, where the heck were you on that one, big fella? And then sometimes you ping pong in between. It was my fault actually, but where were you on that one there? It's actually your fault. No, it's actually my fault. So you have a lot of fun with that sometimes, but nevertheless you're left with ashes. It's crazy. And beauty means this, I'll give you beauty. It means an embellishment. It means a fancy headdress. It's all to do with your head. It's crazy. Fancy headdress, a beautiful bonnet, an adornment, an ornament. Isn't it crazy? I'll give you a beautiful mind for your ashes. And then as I read that, God spoke to me. Only thing he's ever spoken on this thing. He said, I can't give you all the ashes. But if I can't give you all the answers, but if you give me your ashes, you'll run again. I thought, God, it was like my fight for answers. Why? Where were you? Why that? Why that? I'm replaying this thing over and over again. It was like my fight for answers came head first and collided with his mercy. It was like, no, I want you to run. And we think that knowing the answers is going to make us run again. We try and figure out what could have been and why didn't that work out? Because that could have been God. I want to figure that out. And we keep, I don't know if anyone's been down that track, and you keep knocking on God's door with questions. I want an answer to this. I want an answer. Why didn't this work out? Why in this relationship? Why am I still in debt? I'm giving one, all this sort of stuff. And God says, I can't give you all the answers. But if you just hand me the ashes, you know it's over. You know it didn't make it. Give me those. And you run again. And it was a funny thing as I read this, and especially the thing about beauty, God giving you a beautiful mind again. I realized over a period of a few years, I'd stopped seeing beauty in the world. And it's a funny thing to say, but I remember when I first moved to Australia, I'd go down DY Beach and eat a pie and drink a chocolate milk as you do. And I'd look at the water, and I remember seeing the sparkling water, and I always used to say the same thing. I always used to say, thank you, God, for bringing me here. Man, this is so beautiful. And then I stopped seeing it, and I would see the ocean, and I couldn't see it was beautiful anymore. It was just the ocean. And then you'd see flowers. I wouldn't see flowers, and I couldn't see beautiful things and people anymore. It was like the beauty got shut off. It was weird carrying these ashes instead. Just bizarre. You weren't born to know all the answers. You were just born to run. I don't know if you got ashes of something that went through the fire and didn't make it. And sometimes we have to say, it didn't make it. It didn't make it. And all I've got is ashes. And we've got answers. But God says, I can't give you all the answers. It's amazing that God can say that. You can do anything. I can't give you all the answers. You're not built for answers. You're built to run. And if you give me these ashes, I can't promise you all the answers, but I promise you, you will run again. God's breath's going to blow through them. You know, it's crazy. I was thinking about this in Genesis 2. I'll finish up here. I was thinking about in Genesis, and God builds a garden and sticks two trees. The Bible says in Genesis 2, he puts two trees in the middle. One's a tree of life, and one's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One tree you go to for life, another tree you go to for answers. And God says, don't go to that one. I always say, why'd you flip and put it in the garden? He said, there's two trees in your life. One, you go to, it'll always give you life. And then there's another tree in your life, and it's a quest for answers. He goes, don't go to that one. Adam, don't touch that one. Funny thing happened when Adam and Eve did, and they went to the to that tree, the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible says Adam ate the fruit and he realized he was naked. Here's a revelation in case you didn't know. He was naked before. But he saw he was naked. What happens when you go to that tree in that quest for answers? You become very self-conscious. And all of a sudden you start to just see yourself. And that's all you see. You walk into a room full of people you love you, and all you think in your head is, what are they thinking about me? They know stuff, they don't like me. Well, that person doesn't like me, that person doesn't like me. It's crazy stuff. You bump into someone you haven't seen for years, you're going, they don't like me anymore, they haven't called me. It's crazy. You get consumed and completely conscious with yourself. God says, don't go there. Go to the tree of life, because when you go to the tree of life, you'll always be God conscious. It's amazing. You won't even know you're in the nude. Don't do that. Don't walk down the street. It's the tree of life, people. Don't do that. But it's a phenomenal thing, isn't it? I was reading a kid's book the other day, Dr. Seuss, and in the middle of it, it had this thing. It said, don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. And we have some things that ended up as ashes. But instead of crying over them sometimes, you got to just smile and go, ha, there's some pretty awesome stuff back there too. You know, your quest for answers has been driving you bonkers. Where were you on that? And you think what you want more than anything is answers. I'm here today to tell you it's not. What you want more than anything is to run. And when you start to feel that wind of the breath of God back into your spirit again, once you can turn away and go, no, I'll let it go. And you start to run. What could have been? Paul, I take your advice. If that's the one thing that I could have held Paul back, what could have been? I let it go because I just want to run again. Paul said, I just want to run. Maybe some things could have happened. Maybe they couldn't have happened. Whatever. One thing I do is I forget it. I lose it out of my mind. I forget it and I press on to what could be and what God has still got planned for my life. 65 years old, sitting in a jail cell, covered in dirt, hair all over the place, chains, forgetting what could have been. I press on to what could be in my life. I shut the door on that. Might have happened, might not have, whatever, I forget it. Because God has still got an amazing future for me. I press on to what God has still promised me. The things in my life that are still alive. I forget that tree of answers. And I run to a tree of life. God, I don't want the answers. I got ashes. I'll bring them to you. Because I just want to run. If you could blow through these. And I can get life back again.